There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Now, today we're taking a look at spinal muscular atrophy in the first hour. And here to join us to shed light on this condition, which in America, in the USA, one in 100,000 babies may be diagnosed with this genetic condition. But in the UAE, it's 50 in 100,000. Dr. Fatma Riden, a medical admission manager at Amana Healthcare from Abu Dhabi. Hello and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak to you too.
Thank you.
We are going to be talking later to a mom who's in to share her story of having children diagnosed with SMA. That's Bushra Al-Shamsi. We'll be speaking to her in a little while. So Dr. Fatma, first off, tell me about Amana Healthcare and what you provide in the UAE there in the capital.
Thank you. Amana Healthcare is a long-term facility that opened the door 5 years ago. We started in Al Ain and we expanded to Abu Dhabi. We found out that a lot of ventilated patients, in fact, are in the ICUs, not having a great quality of life. So we decided, as in fact member of board, to go ahead with a new experience in UAE and provide for them another facility. It's a hospital, okay, within home, and our patient will have a private room. We'll have a lot of rehabilitation. We'll have one-to-one nursing and especially quality of life. We take them out, they go to the mosque, they have special education. It's kids and adults, but you can imagine how a patient who was born in an ICU, in fact, will feel when he's coming to such facility, having the opportunity to go home with the staff, having the opportunity to go to the mall, to go with the mom. That's what we can offer to them, and that's what UAE wanted for their beloved one.
So people that are staying there, that are being treated there, what kind of conditions might they have?
Usually for the adult patient, it's the stroke patient, it's the patient having neuromuscular disease, it's the patient having a lot of muscular condition, okay, who will not allow them to go out of a bed, or the patient who need ventilation, especially patient on a ventilator, chronic ventilation. For the kids, it's really genetical disease and new tumor disease as well, and that's patient who will be on a ventilator 24 hours. Usually, in fact, what they have on a daily basis, they will have a lot of rehabilitation with a multidisciplinary team, in fact, approach for them, quality of life, and we have a social committee very, very active who will do for them a lot of activities. And at the same time, okay, we offer to them to have an ICU physician available 24 hours, because they are still, in fact, severe cases, and that's 24-hour ventilator patient. And we offer to them also to have one nurse with them. The family is allowed to come, and in fact that's their home. The room is the patient home, and the family can stay 24 hours in Amana with them. For the families who are not from Abu Dhabi or Lane, we offer to them a family room when they can stay, and they can come with sibling. They can have a normal life. In fact, we have birthdays, we have parties in Amana. Okay, the Eid party was amazing. Everyone came and it was a big party for everyone. They come back to life. That's the way I can describe that.
I think what we always want and what we're always thinking about is quality, isn't it? Quality,
yes,
of life.
Yes.
How long has Amana been going in the UAE?
It's less, 5 years that you are here. We started in Al Ain as a big challenge. I think that Bushra was one of the first mom who joined us. She came from Dubai. She convinced all her family to come. And I'm amazed, and a big thank you to all the mom who are literally convinced and who are going every day to Dubai or to Abu Dhabi or another city. But they want quality of life for their kids. And
what was before? I mean, before Amana, what options were there for families?
Okay, before Amana, this patient were in a hospital, okay, in an ICU room. The hospital are amazing. In fact, the staff, for example, of Latifa Hospital is amazing. Like the kids of Bushra, okay, when I wanted first to see them, Latifa Hospital, everyone knows them. Sarah, who is now 10 years, was 5 years when I met her the first time. The nurses are a second family. They know every single thing. She's having a TV, okay, but still it's an ICU environment. Like Bushra cannot have them at home. They cannot go out, okay. It's not busy, even that the staff there are doing an amazing job. So our idea was, okay, can they come to another environment? Can we create for them home? Okay, it's difficult to go home with them, so we bring them to our home in Amana. The family come to us. Okay, we have in fact also it's a partnership with other hospitals like Latifa, like SKMC, like all the hospitals, that their patients come to us and we'll have a different quality of life. Okay, in Amana. That's what we can offer to them.
Exactly. So you're giving more 360 care, yes, than ever before. So there are options there. If yes, your baby is having some kind of disability, there is option. Whereas before, yes, it was very difficult, I think. And, yes, you know, many people, their children were kept at home. There wasn't a lot of stimulation or, yes, getting the absolute advanced technology when it comes to specific healthcare required. Exactly. Now, you care for many different conditions, but yes, today we're focusing on spinal muscular atrophy. So what is this?
Okay, spinal muscular atrophy, I want to start to tell that August is the awareness month everywhere, and the UAE is doing a lot of effort also to enhance the effort because the awareness, because as you mentioned clearly, it's 50 times more than in US. Okay, it's really incredible for such condition. The expectancy of life is 2 years, when in UAE is much more. We have kids 13, 14, 15 years. The SMA type 1 spinal muscular atrophy, in fact, is a genetical disease. Okay, is deletion in one protein, especially. There is four type of spinal muscular atrophy, and that's going from a mild symptom to very severe one. It, when it's symptomatic, it will be affecting the breathing and the swallowing, especially. It's very dangerous what it's affecting this both system, because the patient cannot be breathing and can't also swallow. He's having respiratory distress, and that's when the patient is diagnosed, in fact, mainly in these cases, when he's not screened previously. The spinal muscular atrophy, okay, it means age usually, okay, 2 years internationally, in UAE is 13 to 14. In Amana Healthcare, until now, we have 14 patients between Al Ain and Abu Dhabi. I really think that we have a largest population in UAE. Now, the intermarriage especially, okay, is the reason why there is a lot of SMA.
We're putting the spotlight on spinal muscular atrophy this morning with Dr. Fatma Riden, who's Medical Admission Manager at Amana Healthcare in Abu Dhabi. Now, just to clarify, spinal muscular atrophy, SMA, it's a genetic condition that makes the muscles weaker and causes problems with movement. It can be a serious condition and gets worse over time, but there are treatments to help manage the symptoms. The disease is passed on genetically, although parents who may not have the disease but be carriers of the gene that causes it, that is certainly the case in many incidents. And as a doctor was just explaining about the different types, the main types are type 1, which develops in babies less than 6 months old and is the most severe type. Then type 2, which appears in babies who are 7 to 18 months old and is less severe than type 1. Type 3 develops after 18 months of age and is the least severe type affecting children. And type 4 affects adults and usually only causes mild problems. Joining us in studio, welcome to the show, a mom, that's Bushra Al-Shamsi. She's the parent of three children that have been diagnosed with SMA. So welcome to the show, Bushra.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
I have five babies. I'm from UAE. Two of them, they are normal baby, and I have three babies. They have SMA type 1. My Sara, she's 10 years. Noor, she's 8 years. And Ali, he's 2 years. And they start from 4 months. I will feel that they not have control in the head, and they cannot breathe. And
And how was that for you as you started to notice things? Maybe they weren't reaching their milestones as they should as babies. What did you do?
From 6 months, then I know that they are not normal baby. Then I take them Latifa Hospital. They make a genetic test because they know about the babies. Then they said to me that they have SMA type 1.
And I'm assuming you didn't know very much about that. Did you know much about SMA before? Had you heard of it?
No. First time for me. And in our family, no SMA. First one, I bring that SMA baby. And they are in Amana Healthcare now. They was in Latifa, and they are happy in Amana now.
So how are they? How's Sarah doing? She's 10 years of age. What's she like? What's her day like?
She like everything like a normal baby, and she will talk to you with her eyes. The nurses there, they know about her. She have teacher in Amana, and she know everything like a normal baby.
Yeah, I think this is important to highlight, isn't it? That it's physical, it's not mental disability. So she's able to interact as best she can. As you said, through her eyes, she knows you. She knows you're her mom. She knows her brothers and sisters. And, you know, within that facility, she's getting the best care and stimulation that she can. But what about the physical? What about what's happening? So if Sarah's 10 years of age, from being diagnosed as a baby, what's her sort of story, or generally the course? I know everyone's different, and we're going to be sharing other stories of young people with SMA, but basically, you know, how much do you deteriorate with that physical control or lack of it?
Yeah, it starts with a weakness, general weakness, okay, and difficulty in breathing, and ended now, okay, having a total paralysis, okay. She's not having any control for any muscle, including in fact the respiratory one.
And that's why, isn't it, to understand, yes, that, but you know, the difficulty breathing is because you're unable to sustain your body through the muscles that support the breathing apparatus.
Exactly. And the swallowing as well. She cannot, in fact, breathe. She's ventilated, and the ventilation support is 24 hours. She can do any effort. If we stop or switch off, in fact, the ventilator, she will not breathe anymore. And from a swallowing point of view, she can't swallow. Also for the feeding, okay, we need to feed her via a PEG tube, who is a gastrostomy, that she needs a special food for that as well. But, okay, as Boshra mentioned clearly, that her eyes, okay, are her way of communication. We have an eye device, okay, communication device, that through her eyes, she can express herself. She can, in fact, verbalize what she wants, looking to the letters until she's having, in fact, a sentence and expressing what she wants. And that's exactly what she wanted. That's why there is a special needs education teacher who is trained using such, in fact, device with the therapy team, who will work on educational, in fact, purpose for this patient. There is a program for her, because these children are really very clever, and they need this type also of high stimulation, because that's what they wanted. Yes, they cannot control their body, but in fact they are clever, and they need to be treated as a children. Boshra was mentioning truly that she's a normal child. Yes, she's a normal child, okay. She is having a medical control condition, but we are controlling it, and she need to have a normal life. She is having a normal, in fact, rhythm. In the morning, she's having her bath, she's having her breakfast, she's having her education. She dislike it, as some of the kids, okay, some days she's annoyed. I think that she know that next week school start again, and okay, go ahead, okay, to the normal life, to exercising, to homework, even, okay, she need to do all of this to be a normal child, and she is normal. Okay, she go with her mom to the spa, she go to the mall, she go home, she attended last year to a wedding in Dubai. Okay, she's really, really a brilliant child.
I mean, that's incredible, isn't it, to be able to have that integration as well into society with such severe disability if she's on a ventilator. How is your family with Sarah and your children with SMA? How are they?
They know about SMA, they know about Sarah. For us, we are talking to her like a normal baby, me and her father, our family. When she will come to our home, all my family, they will come to visit her, and she will be happy with that.
Yeah, that's really important, isn't it? For, you know, to really, for children not to be, or young people to be ignored. And that word normal, I always feel a little bit uncomfortable with,
yes,
that we're even saying that, really. Children are children, people are people, right?
Yes. Your question about, in fact, family being there is really important. Okay, the support from the family is really important. We are trying to create, actually, an SMA support group for the families, because this is a condition that no one knows. Actually, and thank you very much for the awareness that you are giving us and this opportunity, because it means when Bushra or other mom are having these children, usually in the family we not find anyone having an SMA, but also they will be alone. There is no support group. They don't know to whom they need to speak. There is no psychological support. And in fact, it's important to know what is it, what's the next, okay, what we have to do, what will be the opportunity for them. It's not that you have an SMA, halas, it's done, okay. There is rehab who need to do to be done. There is families who can support you. There is physician who know about the condition, and there is hope for the future. And we need to go ahead with education, with rehab, with quality of life for them. Bushra family is really an amazing family. Like, we know the mom of Bushra before knowing, in fact, Bushra. She was working in the police in Dubai, okay, and you can guess that she's very strict. When we met her initially, and we met with the family, all of them were scared. They don't know where they are. They are only, in fact, in a room, not knowing the condition, what will be next. Okay, coming to Amana, we had a lot of family, in fact, meetings on a monthly basis. Okay, we meet with them, we tell them what's going on. If there is anything that they hear about, because there is a lot, in fact, of news. People come telling us, look, I heard that this was treated in Korea, this was treated in Thailand, that there is something in Europe, and we need to answer to their demand. In fact, we need to be even proactive and come to them and tell them, look, we are hearing that there is, in fact, they are testing something that potentially in the future. We are dealing with international hospitals as well, especially Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, who is known, in fact, to have this type of condition. And as you know, in UAE, a lot of the children will be allowed to go overseas, in fact, for a diagnostic purpose. And they know what's available, in fact, internationally. For when they come to us, okay, they come with question, and we keep this relation with the international provider in order to answer to their question.
Well, just in the news, just this past week, the passing of Jerry Lewis, the entertainer and actor, performer, finding out what he was doing for many years, supporting a cure for or treatment and support drugs. You know, the prognosis can be very scary with this condition for children and their lifespan. And his work pays off in new drugs for muscular dystrophy. Some of the money that he raised, a considerable amount of money over the years, has gone towards a drug called Spinraza. And amazing results are coming out of this. We're going to be sharing the story of a gentleman who's 25 years of age, who has muscular atrophy. He has his blog, What Made Me Smile, this week. We're going to be sharing some of the things that have made him smile, regardless of his disability, as we get to understand better what it's like living with this condition. Stay with me. Talking about muscular atrophy, spinal muscular atrophy, known as SMA. It's a genetic condition. It's affecting the muscles. It's picked up as babies, young children, sometimes as adults even. It's as your nerve cells, and they're not picking up the signals that are going to the brain, so you're not able to control your movement. And of course, it can progress, and it could mean in most cases being wheelchair bound. And because of those nerve cells and those signals not getting there to the brain, it also means that many patients have to go onto ventilators to assist breathing, and even in some cases specialized intensive care to stabilize the condition. Talking to us today is Dr. Fatma Riden, who's Medical Admission Manager at Amana Healthcare Abu Dhabi, alongside a mom of three SMA-diagnosed children, that is Bushra Al-Shamsi. When we're looking at some of those symptoms, floppy or weak arms and legs, as I said, those sort of movement problems, difficulty sitting up, crawling or walking, twitching or shaking muscles, bone and joint problems, even unusually curved spine, could all be symptoms of SMA. Now, questions are coming in, Doctor. First of all, when it comes, you mentioned before about the cultural implications here. So it's a genetic condition. Is there a test that can be done to see if your baby has this?
Yeah, we can start, in fact, by testing the parents, okay, if we know that it's existing in the family. A genetic test can be done also on prenatal, okay, or when the baby is born, we can do a genetic test and we can know, okay, if the patient is having SMA. Genetic consultation is important also, okay, to teach the family and to educate them what about the next babies, okay, that they need to be aware about the risk to have another pregnancy and to have another SMA type 1.
In your case, Bushra, you were telling me that even with the risk, you just loved having babies. You just wanted to have your babies anyway. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, and obviously no regrets. Of course, there's no regrets there. Mm-hmm. But challenges, right? There must be challenges on the family, even with the facility at Amana, just how it affects the other children that are at home. What would you say have been the biggest challenges for you and your family?
I think for Bushra, it was a difficult having, in fact, three kids already. She's far, she's in Dubai. And she was telling me before coming here, in fact, because we were near one of the school, and the kids were going back, in fact, to school today. It's a private school. And she was telling me how it's challenging to take care of the two other children when she need, in fact, to take care of her three SMA type 1. Yeah,
so you're having to travel. You live in Dubai, but you have to travel to Al Ain.
To Al Ain, yeah.
Yeah, and look, and also take care of your children that are at home.
Yeah, so. And I'm working night shift.
And you're working nights.
Yeah.
Goodness. Yeah.
She's an amazing lady. She's an amazing, amazing lady. What she's doing, and I mean. All the time we are asking her to be part of the rehab therapy sessions, of the outing of the kids, volunteering even, in fact, SMA group that we are having. And she's always there. In fact, that's amazing.
So who gives you support, Bushra? Who's helping you?
My mum and my kids.
There's more questions coming in on this. We mentioned it before, we need to answer it. The difference between muscular atrophy and muscular dystrophy, doctor?
Yeah, it's totally different, in fact. One of them is the weakness, one of them is a total atrophy. It's a genetical disease. And the spinal muscular atrophy is an atrophy in all the muscle. You can understand that, in fact, you don't have any muscle to support, okay, the skeleton. So you will have a lot of deformity as well. It's the breathing, the swallowing, but you cannot, in fact, stand normally. You will have deformity, scoliosis, cephalosis. That's what we are having with the kids. That's why, in fact, the rehabilitation part, okay, is really important. Having a physical therapist and occupational therapist working with the child since they are very small, very young, okay, is an important thing to avoid deformity. Positioning, okay, between teaching the family how they can have their children, okay, sitting, sleeping, okay. One of the first things we start, in fact, with the child is positioning to avoid deformity for them, because if you have deformity, especially in your chest, okay, this will give you also an additional risk of infections, an additional risk of reduced space, and this is why and how this patient in fact will die, because having chest infection is the main issue for the children, and that's why we need to avoid it. Having a children one in each room, okay, is a kind of an important point as well.
Because just to have that interaction, or
To avoid to have a lot of contacts. Mm. Okay, is to avoid to have an infection. Okay, interaction between the kids.
So you're saying that they should be separated?
For the moment, what we do, okay, is that we offer to each patient, to each children, okay, one room. And it means infection control is very strict for them. It's very important. They are alive. They are nice. They are amazing. But they are still in a ventilator. Okay, all the precaution need to be taken. That's important. I think that Bushra and all the families, first thing we teach them when they come is infection control measures. And we are very, very strict, okay, on that. Okay. There's even a club, infection control club for the parents, okay, for that. In addition to that, okay, having one-to-one nursing is an amazing thing as well. For infection is not spread, each patient is having his own nurse, okay, during the 24 hour who will work with him. Now, session when the patient, okay, and the kids especially will work together, will play together, okay, are important. We are offering them, but as soon as we have any infection anywhere in the hospital, the patient will be isolated until he is, in fact, fine.
So we're getting a picture of how it is in the UAE and what's available to people. Obviously, this is coming at a price. I mean, this is a considerable high-end facility. I was looking around the world at how it is for people with this condition. You know, like here in the UK, looking at the Guardian newspaper, Sophia's parents are fighting for her life and fighting for support at every step. Their disabled one-year-old needs vital help unavailable from the NHS or the benefit system in the UK. The family are £30,000 in debt and fear her medical equipment will be repossessed. You know, we're not in the UK, we're here, but it's just to understand what it's like living with this condition and the challenges and the equipment that's needed to care for a child or a young adult with this condition. And for this family in the UK, they're caring for Sophia at home and they're doing their absolute best. But, you know, just as I get into that story, you hear that there are two intelligent parents with jobs, but one of them isn't from the UK, so they haven't got the family network. The system's letting them down because this is a rare condition and the cost is phenomenal. And then one of them loses their job and how that impacts their family caring for their daughter, wanting her to have everything they can possibly offer. So that's one sort of insight into what it might be like living as a family with this condition. And then we look at this story, as I mentioned before, Jerry Lewis, the entertainer, the performer, recently passed away. He had worked for many, many years supporting charities when it comes to muscular dystrophy and had raised a lot of money. And now there's this drug, Spinraza. Now, in this article that we're reading, we came across this young gentleman, Shane Bacow. He's 25 years of age and he's part of the article because he's eligible to take this drug and it could absolutely alter the prognosis of his condition. But I just wanted to share with you, just to read a little bit from his blog, what made me smile this week. And I read this, I listen to these stories, and whatever you drove into work today or on wherever you're going and you feel that things are a bit rough, you hear this and you think, be thankful for what you have. And if somebody can have this ability to smile as you are, Bushra, today, when you've got such challenges. He says here, Sunday, in an attempt to be more efficient while grocery shopping with my girlfriend and brother, I ventured off on my own in search of the elusive blanched silvered almonds that Hannah insisted on using for a cookie recipe. After wandering the store for a few hours, cold and alone, just as I began to give up on her precious blanched almonds, a bright, beautiful light from the ceiling above came down and illuminated a tiny little package on the bottom shelf of aisle 34. I screamed like a lunatic and sped off to inform the others, but in my euphoria I forgot that my wheelchair is still not working correctly and my chair jolted to a rough halt. The fact that I didn't lose balance of my head made me smile. Monday, my parents are away on vacation in Maine, which means that Hannah is my keep aliver for the week. Tonight we completed a successful pooping ceremony. Not falling off the toilet makes me smile. The next day, I began a new journey today. I went for my first evaluation appointment at a new physical therapy place. It went well, and the fact that I did not leave my with any torn muscles or broken bones makes me smile. The next day, it only took one stick to draw my blood this week, as opposed to the 45 sticks it took last week. Getting blood drawn before every Spinraza injection is not exactly fun, but hopefully we found the secret method and the rest of them will be a walk in the park. It made me smile. And Friday, Spinraza injection #2 was a success. Two more loading doses to go and then my injections will be every 4 months. This made me smile. Incredible young man. You can check out his blog, What Made Me Smile This Week. That's Shane Bacow. When we come back, we'll talk about treatments and drugs like this that are helping pave the way to help people's lives live longer with SMA, improving that quality of life as well. And we're going to be sharing another story of a gentleman who's doing amazing things in the art world. And he too is wheelchair bound and is an SMA sufferer. Stay with me. Talking about spinal muscular atrophy with Dr. Fatima Riden, who's medical admission manager at Amana Healthcare in Abu Dhabi, alongside Bushra Al-Shamsi, who's a parent of three SMA-diagnosed children. Now, questions coming in. One here, how can I know if I might pass on this disease to my children? Is the test difficult or expensive?
The test is available in UAE and public hospitals, okay, in Abu Dhabi, in SKMC, in Dubai, in both Latifa Hospital, Rashid Hospital, and in Al Ain in Tawem Hospital. That's the main hospital that means the genetic test is existing. It's not an expensive test, and the insurance, in fact, is paying for it. But if you have any doubt, it's important to do it, okay? And it's important to go and ask for a consultation because, in fact, the physician will speak to you about the risk and what's the potential, in fact, your risk to have this disease to be passed to the kids.
And for you, Bushra, the treatment for your children, what are they going through?
Okay, mean actually, Bushra, in fact, the kids are having ventilation, are having a lot of rehabilitation, and she is having a lot of questions about, the new medication.
Yes, so we were talking about this. Are you familiar with this new drug that's out there?
Yeah, and we hope that they will bring that medicine, Spinraza, in UAE. And I think there is something like for my baby, they will not, they cannot start because already they are in ventilator. But we hope that they can take the medicine.
That there is always hope. Yes, mm-hmm. For sure. Well, let's hear from another gentleman here who goes by the name of AJ Brockman. He's a digital painter. He's an award-winning artist that has a passion for art, design and all things that are described here as awesome. He also has SMA, spinal muscular atrophy. And as we know, it's a progressive neuromuscular disease. He's been wheelchair-bound since the age of 2. And he says he views himself as being differently abled rather than disabled, and that he lives to the fullest every single day.
My name is AJ Brockman, and I am a digital painter. Digital painting itself and has been around for a while, but it's been in different, you know, arenas like concept art and architectural drawings and stuff like that. So I'm kind of bringing it to the next level in the fine art aspect. I started in art because I love it. I have a passion for it. When I was younger, I would paint traditionally. I used a paintbrush and acrylics just like any other artist would. And as my disease progressed, I began to use the use of my hands and was forced to transfer into more of a digital medium. I was fortunate enough to develop and understand how to use a computer and computer software to my advantages early on, and that's kind of how it started.
When one of his works was first submitted to a call for artists called Contempo last year, I noticed it was a very interesting, completely something that a technique that I really hadn't seen before. And I thought that before I met the young man. And I've seen his career really take off.
I paint with my left hand, but more specifically, I only paint with one finger on my left hand. I really only have, you know, 2 or 3 inches range of motion, left to right, and up and down. I mean, that's it right there. And I'm able to use the mouse pad to do the brush strokes. And people, when they look at me, their first impression is that I couldn't create stuff like this, or, you know, they don't even know that I'm the artist. But opening their eyes to this and really showing them how it's done, that my finger is, you know, essentially the paintbrush to a traditional medium. You know, that's how it works. And it's really cool to see people when they get it. I don't limit myself to a certain genre or a certain subject matter. Some of it is stuff that I wish maybe I could experience myself that in real life I couldn't do because of physical limitations, so maybe I want to paint that out. One thing that I'm super excited about is the opportunity to work with the city of West Palm Beach. I have an upcoming deal where my artwork's going to be in multiple city locations and very accessible to the public, and it's super exciting because it can bring digital painting and my technique to a whole new audience. I've been given this hand in life, and it's, you know, I have so many drawbacks in certain areas, but I still have my one finger, and, you know, I use that because that's really all I have left, and I'm able to exploit that to still create and do what I want to do. And, you know, I feel fortunate that I at least have that finger to still work with. And when the day comes where I don't have my finger anymore, where my disease progresses to where I can't do what I'm doing now, then, you know, I'll move on to the next step and see where this goes.
There we go, AJ Brockman, digital painter. He describes himself as differently abled rather than disabled, and that he lives life to the fullest every day. We're nearly out of time. Doctor, when it comes to what you're doing at Amana Care Healthcare in Abu Dhabi, when you're listening to that, what's available to people with technology who might be living with this disease, what are you doing to help with that? You mentioned earlier occupational therapists. You know, you've got different therapists. What do you see the future when it comes to that therapy and treatment?
Yeah, multi, in fact, disciplinary team interaction between pediatrician, PICU physician, but also our therapist is really an amazing thing who need to be done with this patient. A multisensory room is available for the patient. Okay, it's important, especially for these kids. Okay, it means to go and interact and to know, okay, and explore their senses. This is a new technology as well. Our therapists are using also the AGAS, okay, that they can communicate via their eyes. That's important also for this patient. Now, when the diagnosis is done early, that's important, okay, to keep any kind of muscle and to use technology. For if they are still having their hands on and fingers, this is very precious. For we teach them to use the computer and this open their life. Really, this open the opportunities for them. That's important for them. Now, all technology, okay, from a rehab point of view, used from occupational therapy and physical therapy, exercising, cognition, education, okay, to stimulate them, and that they are, as we are telling, kids, that's all. Now, from an infection point of view and ICU, PICU, we need to go ahead and to do a lot of infection, in fact, prevention, and a lot of work also from a cuff assist, for example, that we need to use new technology like the vest to assist this patient also for cuffing. And that's also a measure for infection control as well.
Well, it has to be said, the 5 years since Amana Healthcare has been set up in the UAE has changed considerably the options available to families who have, been blighted by disease in their families. There are a variety of conditions you can help and support at Amana Healthcare, but it does mean that they are not in the house, bound to the house, or even having shorter lives because of that lack of ventilation care. So the stimulation, the mental, physical therapy, and making sure you've got that state-of-the-art technology, of which you are telling me as well, is covered on insurance to a great extent. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's the amazing thing. We are really blessed in UAE, okay, to work in this environment with the support of all the leaders in Dubai and Abu Dhabi and all the Emirates. In fact, the UAE insurance, main insurance, who is Thika, is covering all the cost 100%. Okay, is covering a patient to be in a private facility, having one room, having one nurse, having a team of therapists working with him, all this social, okay, event and that we can offer to our patient in Amana is possible because of, them embracing the idea of Amana, because of an insurance paying them, because of the leaders, okay, coming and visiting us. We have a library in Amana that Sheikh Ahind Al-Qasimi is coming as, on a weekly basis every Wednesday afternoon, okay, with the patient to read, in fact, the books, to share with them this moment that's important, okay, that these families have also this support. We encourage all the volunteers to come to Amana, to read books, to play with the kids. We had invitation even from Atlantis that some of our patients, even on a ventilator, went to the dolphin show, okay, with them. That's amazing what it's existing here, that you can offer to a patient a customized wheelchair, okay, and when the patient is growing, you need to go ahead and change it every 1-2 years.
And it is incredible, the work being done with the technology of the wheelchairs as well.
Yes.
Amazing. But, you know, overall, I think the message here is children, young people, no matter what their challenges might be, they are visible. They are not invisible. And thank you very much for your time today, Dr. Fatma Raden, Medical Admission Manager at Amana Healthcare in Abu Dhabi. And a big thank you to Bushra Al-Shamsi. And we wish you and your children, your family, all the very best. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you, Habibi. Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.